And he began to worship other gods. So after that point, all the way to 1 Kings chapter 18, the children of Israel, God's people, the kingdom of God in the Old Testament, had a problem with idolatry. Now, at that time, the king's name was Ahab. Ahab had a wife. Her name was Jezebel. She was fierce. She didn't play. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 4, she, when any time a prophet stood up against her and what they were doing, she would kill them dead. In verse number 5 of 1 Kings chapter 18, Obadiah had to hide 11 prophets. They were hidden. They hid for their life. They hid in caves. But there was one man that didn't hide. His name was Elijah. Today we're going to talk about Elijah. He didn't hide. Now, back in the, we must understand too, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1, God in sundry times and in diverse manners, in time past, he spoke unto the fathers, well, like Abraham, all he spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. So he sent the one man that stood out. Everybody else was hiding, but he was the only one that stood out. He sent them to the people. Question I have before I go into my lesson. In your life, are you standing up for God or are you hiding your Christianity in the caves? Are you hiding your Christianity in your job in the corner? So no, or are you standing up for God? That was just a question that came to my mind. Now let's go back into our lesson here. So it was only one man that stood up. So let's go and see what happened here. Let's go to verse number 17, 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's look at verse number 17. And the scripture reads, like I said, Elijah, who was by himself, everybody else was hiding. And when it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, he said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Hold up. This man was an evil man. Elijah is the one that he's saying troubling Israel. On your job or in your place or wherever you go, the world, do they look at you and say, "Oh, here go a troublemaker"? Or do the world look at you and say, "Friend, they embrace you"? That's a question we must ponder upon. Are we the troublemakers of the world? Or are we in fellowship and friendship with them? That's another thing that came to my mind. I just had to throw that out there. Now, he said, "No, I'm not the one that troubled the world." Verse number 18, he said to him, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou hast troubled Israel and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." Now, verse number 20. Verse number 19. "Now, therefore," Elijah said, "I want you to go and I want you to gather me all Israel, everybody in the camp. Gather them unto Mount Carmel and all your prophets." I'm by myself, but all your prophets, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400, and which eat at Jezebel, your wife's table. So Ahab said, "Okay, cool." So he went. He sent for the children of Israel, verse number 20, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Now, by himself, Elijah stood up and said, he came unto the people and said, "How long stand ye or halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be your God, follow him. If God be your God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." But the people, they ain't say nothing. They, as if they had popcorn waiting to see a show happen. Like, they didn't respond. Then Elijah said, "Okay." Verse number 22, he said unto the people, I alone remain a prophet. I'm the only one. But Baal prophet, a false god, 450 men. Let them therefore give us two. He said, "I'm going to show you something. Like, you take two, let's get two bullocks and let them choose one. Let y'all choose one for yourself and cut it up and lay it on the wood and put fire. But do not put no fire on it. I will do the same thing. I'll dress mine up. I'll lay it on some wood, and I won't put no fire on it." Verse number 24, he says, and he said, "Call upon your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God." And the people said, "Okay, yeah, sure, we'll do that." It was well spoken. Now, verse number 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock of yourself, dress it first, it's men of y'all, and call on the name of your God and put no fire on them. And they did it. They dressed it up and they heard him. Verse number 26. And they took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it and they called on the name of Baal. From morning all the way to noon, hours, saying, "O Baal, hear us." And there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped, they started dancing around the altar, which was made. And then it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them. He said, "Cry louder, for he's your God." Where is he? He might be talking. Is he talking? The scripture said he is pursuing, and the commentator said, that means, is he on the toilet? Is he using the restroom? Where is your God? Is he on a journey? Or perhaps he's sleeping. Wake him up. Call louder. And they cried aloud. It was 450 of them. And then they began to cut themselves in a manner with knives and lashes until the blood gushed out of them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until time. It got late. Evening sacrifice. There was neither no voice nor any to answer. Now this man is by himself, standing up for God. You have the false prophets. They doing all these things. It kind of reminds me of denominationalism. They doing all these works. They doing all these things of crying out and giving all their money and sitting at the mourner's bench and doing all these things. But there's not no answer. There's never an answer. Hereby you know that you know him. You have a relationship with him when you do his commandments. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. Let's pick up verse number 30. Now Elijah said unto the people, "Come unto me, let me show you something." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar, which was broken down. And he did it the Lord's way, because in verse number 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench. Now he did something. He built his altar, but he dug a trench around his altar. He said, "I'm gonna show you something." He dug a trench that contained 2 measures of seed. Verse number 33, he put the wood in the order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill me 4 barrels of water." And he poured on the sacrifice. He poured 4 barrels of water. You know, I have a fire pit in my backyard. It's hard to light wet wood. So he said he poured 4 barrels of water on there. Then verse number 34, he said, "Do it again." So 8 barrels of water. Then he said, "Do it again." 12 barrels of water, to the point where water was all the way around the thing. It was a lake around his altar. Now watch this. Elijah, it came to pass, verse number 36, in the time of offering the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, let it be known this day that he praying that thou art the God of Israel, and that I am thy servant. And I have done all things according to thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the God, the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." Then the fire fell from down from the Lord and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. It was dry as a bone. See, that's the God that we serve. Now let's keep reading. Now check this out. Licked up the water, verse number 39, and when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Israel said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Let not now one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and he slew them there. So Elijah did all these things, stood up for God by himself, strong in the word. Stood up for his maker. I remember Jesus said to his disciples, "There's not a man born of woman that's greater than John the Baptist, but he that is least," I mean, that's Elijah, Moses, "not a man born of woman better than John, but ye that are least in the kingdom," which is us, the church, "is better than him." So now let me show you something. Let's read verse number 1, chapter 19. Now, Ahab witnessed all this. He told his wife, Jezebel, and all that Elijah had done, how he had killed and slain the prophets. Verse number 2, he says, then Jezebel sent a message, and she said, "So let the gods do to me." She said, "Look, I'm putting this on my life. I'll put this on my life. Let the gods do to me and more so, if I make not their life as the lives of the ones you killed. If I make it so that you die this time tomorrow. Verse number 3. And when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba, belonging to Judah, and he left his servant there. He left his servant in a safe place. He ran alone. He himself went, verse number 4, a day's journey into the wilderness and came, and he sat down on a juniper tree, a shade tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, Lord, this is enough. I can't do this no more, Lord. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Lord, it's enough. After he stood up by himself and saw the glory of God come down and licked up that water dry, and he saw the mighty hand, the power of his Lord, he said, Lord, this is enough. I can't do it. I'm by myself. I'm stressed out. This lady has killed all my fathers. I'm by myself. I can't do this no more. Sometimes we feel like that as Christians. I can't do it no more, Lord. It is enough. Then he says, it is enough, he said on the tree. Oh, Lord, take my life away. For I'm not better than my fathers that they killed. And he laid down and slept under this shade tree, the Jupiter tree, as if he was sleeping to not wake up. He wanted to just, Lord, take my life. But the Lord touched him. The Lord sent an angel and touched him. He said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was cake baking on the coals and the cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel woke him up again, second time, touched him and said, arise and eat. Why? Because the journey is too great for thee. Listen to me. We have here the bread of life. We have here the water, the well of water that you shall never thirst again. We must arise from up under that shade tree of depression. We must arise from up under that tree of self-doubt and just don't feel like giving up. It's enough, Lord. We must arise and eat and drink. We must arise. Why? Because the journey is too great for us. We got a long journey ahead of us. Our story is being written down. We can't give up now. Amen. We got a long journey ahead of us. He told them, you got a journey ahead. Arise and eat. Are we rising and are we eating and drinking of God's word? We got a long journey ahead of us. He felt worthless, like somehow we feel sometimes. Feel like giving up. We feel worthless. We get all these trials and tribulations. Lord, what's going on in my life? Why I'm going through this right now? Elijah saw God firsthand, and he still felt that way. So that's not an uncommon as a man. We have those emotions. But let's keep reading. Verse number 8. He said, arise, verse number 7, and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Verse number 8, and he arose, and he did eat and drink. And he had strength. He went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, let me explain that. This is an amazing story. This mountain is the same mountain that Moses received the Ten Commandments at. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, you'll read that. This wilderness is the same wilderness that the children of Israel walked in. Now, those 40 days and 40 nights, the children of Israel, they was complaining about this and complaining about food and complaining about drink. But he had ate that one time and he had strength for 40 days. Arise, he had strength for 40 days and he went unto that mountain. And when verse number 9, let's read. And when he came into that cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here? Listen. You witnessed me firsthand. I'm right with you. What doing you here? If we are depressed right now as Christians, we're going through trials and tribulations. What are we doing there? How did we get here? How did we get to the point we can't get up, we're giving up? I can't do this no more. When we first became a Christian, we was excited. We came out of the water telling everybody. How did we get here though? How did we get here? The trials of life have been down upon us. How did we get here? We feel like giving up on God. Verse number 10. He explained his reasoning. He said, Lord, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of Israel's host. Why? Because the children of Israel have forsaken our covenant. They thrown down the altars. They slain the prophets with the sword. And I, by myself, I'm the only one left. And they seek my life to take it away. Verse number 11. And he said, go forth, God. He told him, go forth and stand upon a mount before the Lord. And behold, now listen to this real closely. The Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountain and broke it in pieces. The rock fell before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Now watch this. And afterward, the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Listen to me. We have all these fires in our lives today. Sometimes the earthquakes of tribulation and trial cause our ground to be rocky. But the Lord is not in the fire. Amen. The Lord is not in the earthquake. You remember Job? Remember Job? When the devil told God, look, I'm gonna do something in his life. Watch, he curse you. Then the devil took strong wind. And it blew and it knocked down Job's children's house and slew them. Then also he calls fire to burn up all of his belongings. See, but the Lord wasn't in that fire. The Lord wasn't in that strong wind. Job's friend said, what you do to God? You must have did something. His wife said, well, why don't you curse God? God ain't got nothing to do with that. The devil made those things happen in his life. See, those things that we go through now on a daily basis, we charging God foolishly for stuff that the devil's responsible for. God ain't in those fires. God is not in those earthquakes. Listen, let's keep reading. Let's see where God is. Verse number, where we at? 14? 13? God was not, okay, no, verse number 12, had an earthquake fire. God went in the fire. God was in a still voice. See that? See, all those fires and all those earthquakes and all those things going on in your life, God is in the still voice of his word. I'm right here close to you. I'm right here. I'm listening to your prayers. Don't worry about it. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 3, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. God is in the still voice of his word. All those things going on around you, he's in the still voice. I'm close to you, too. I ain't had to shout it. I'm right here beside you. Listen, your story got to come to an end. It's going to be a great ending. Just hang on in there. He's in the still voice of his word. But if we don't have this word, the journey is too great for us. How can we survive in this journey without the still voice of his word? Well, he wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in those trials and tribulations. He wasn't responsible. One thing about Job, he didn't give up. See, but will we give up on God? We're at the brink of giving up, some of us. We're at the brink of giving up. Will we give up on God? Verse number 13, let's read that. When he heard the still voice, he wrapped his face with a mantle. See, those storms and stuff, and that didn't get his attention, see. When he heard the voice, he that shook him. See, you know, God created the earth and everything in it with a still voice. It's powerful in the word of God. It's power. See, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. The still voice is what got him to respond, not the earthquakes and all those fires and trials and tribulations that came in his way. The word of God is quick and powerful. But anyway, verse number 13, he wrapped his face, went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice said, Elias, what doest thou here? Why you here, Elias? He said the same thing that he told God the first time in verse number 10. Verse number 15, he said, go, return to the wilderness of Damascus. With thy anoint, I want you to anoint King Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint and be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, I need you to go. He's going to be the prophet in your stead. He's going to take him under your wing. See, God got work for him to do. He up under a juniper tree complaining and getting ready to give up. Listen, I got work for you to do. See, God got work for us to do. He got work for us to do. All of us, every one of us is a book that's being written. He got work for us to do. We can't sit up under the juniper tree of depression and all those ill will thoughts. We can't sit up under the juniper tree of trials and tribulations. We got work to do. And Elias got up and he went to work. He didn't give up on God. He didn't give up on God. He went and he did everything God told him to do. See, but sometimes we get caught up in them situations and we begin to sit down. So much life going on, children growing up, pastors and everybody getting grown, and we just sitting up on this juniper tree. And now all the work we supposed to been doing, our kids are gone, they grown, they doing things they got no business doing because we sitting up on the juniper tree of sorrow. We got work to do. I'm so glad he didn't give up. As a matter of fact, I'm glad Christ didn't give up. Christ had work to do. He was lied on. He was beaten. He was abused. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They hung him on a tree. And guess what he said in John chapter 19, verse number 30? It's finished. My story is finished. My book that was written is finished. My story is finished. It is finished. I came. I did what I was supposed to do. I'm glad Jesus didn't give up. He had a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? He could have gave up, but he didn't. Will you give up on God? Will you give up on God? You got a story ahead of you. Written down, as a matter of fact. How will your story end? How will your story end? Don't you know in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 11, after Elijah had anointed his protege, Elisha, to be prophet in his stead, God sent down a horse, a fiery horse and chariot to come and swoop up Elijah. Took him by a whirlwind into the heavens. Elijah didn't die like a regular man. He went up in a whirlwind. He never saw any dirt or nothing like that. He didn't, not even old age. He went up in a whirlwind into the heavens. Listen, because he didn't give up on God. Let me show you one more thing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, real quick. Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 3. Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 3. Now, listen to this. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringing them up into a high mountain apart. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. God spoke to the prophets. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. A woman shall conceive and shall bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. All these prophets, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, they inquired about, what was this Jesus? Everybody was talking about Jeremiah 31, 31. They inquired about all these things that were going on. They didn't know a clear picture of this Jesus that was supposed to come. But Elijah met Jesus face to face. He met Jesus face to face. See, he didn't have to guess. He didn't give up when he was under that juniper tree. He went up in a whirlwind, up into heaven, and God in Matthew chapter 17 allowed him to meet Jesus face to face because he didn't give up on God. How will your story end? How will it end? Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, he that endure to the end shall be saved. Will you endure to the end? Or will you give up on God? Will you give up on God? Have you already gave up on him? Well, I highly recommend you stick and stay with God. Just like Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? Where else you gonna go? Them trials and mountains and storms still gonna fall. It's better to have a God on your side than just be out there in the world. Where shall you go but to the Lord? If you have been away from God, I recommend you come back to him. Hold on to his unchanging hand. And if you're not a Christian, you need to be one. You need to be a Christian. I remember like the denomination where all these different gifts and all these things, the still voice is what gets your attention. Faith comes by hearing. See, the still voice, that what gets your attention. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe? You got to believe it. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent. Change. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for remission of your sins. And hold on to God on changing hand, not giving up on him. For he loves you. He cares for your soul. He said, come unto me, all you that are weary, and I hear it late, and I'll give you rest. Listen, there are a lot of people that ain't here right now, but a lot of people that died in Christ are resting. Whether you get rest here or whether you get in heaven, you will rest. That's a promise. That's a promise. Come now while together we stand and sing.